Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's take this over. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. So ask the Lord there, speak to us tonight. Because we want to grow in the Lord. When we come around His Word, we want to gain knowledge from the Word, but also knowledge of Him, about who He is. They should make us want to draw closer to the Lord and want to know Him more. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before You tonight. And we do thank You that for sending Your only begotten Son into the world, for redeeming us. And Lord, we thank You so much for able to come around Your Word, that we pray that the Holy Spirit will teach us tonight, my Lord. Lord, not that we just hear another word, another message, and go out here like we've heard nothing, Lord. But that Your Word will challenge us, change us, my God, to make us more holy as You want us to be. But most of all, in the name of Jesus, that Jesus Christ will be lifted up in our lives. In Your name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, 1 Corinthians 7, 17, it says, "But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while being a Jew? Let him not become a non-Jew. And was anyone called while being a non-Jew? Let him not become a Jew. For being a Jew is nothing, and being a non-Jew is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. But let each one remain in the same calling to which he was called. Were you called while being a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were brought at a price, so do not become the slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called." Now, we're carrying on through Corinthians. I can't remember who preached the last one. It was very good. But so I'm carrying on from where Joseph preached. And now Paul's going to be talking about remaining in the calling which he was called when he was called as a Christian. Now, at this present time, he's going to talk about slaves, because slavery at that particular time was a big thing. Someone owning a slave wasn't a big deal. It is today, but then it wasn't. But what Paul's going to try and teach us here is the calling that me and you have been called to, we should remain in it. You see, I'm not called to be someone else. I'm not called to be Charles or do what Charles does. I'm not called to do what Joseph does. They're not called to do what I do. I'm called by Christ to do what He wants me to do. And it's the same with you. You're called by Jesus Christ. He's called you to do a work in your life. There's a service for you to do. We ain't got to worry about looking what others are doing, about worrying where they're serving or striving to serve where they want to serve at. Remain in that calling what God has given you. And be faithful in it. You know, we can look at other people, they can be so effective in what they're doing. We do desire things like that. But I can't be as good as someone else. I can only be as good as I can in Christ that I can be. Because I'm not called to be as good as them. Do you see, it's a lot of people, they desire pulpit ministry or, you know, want to be seen by hundreds of people and want to be seen leading those to the Lord. Listen, if God ain't called you to that, and He's called you just to go and visit people or just go and help someone, that's a noble calling. It ain't about how much you do. It's whether you're faithful or not in what you do. It's what God has called you to. You see, and Paul's going to go on here, because it's pretty straightforward really, but he's going to go on. And like when he said this, let each one remain in what you've been called to do. He says, "I ordain this in all the churches." Now, we know there's one church. We know there's one church, don't we? And people go, "You don't have to go to church to be a Christian," because we are the church. How many, if church means one, What does churches mean? It means more than one. So Paul's writing to it, he's saying, look, to more than one church. So when someone says to you, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, you should say, well, the Apostle Paul was a bit mistaken, wasn't he? Because he said this letter's got to be written to loads of churches, got to be read out of. Because the amount of people, backsliders, if you want to call them backsliders, they say, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't have to do this to be a Christian. It's complete and utter rubbish. If you're a Christian, you go to church. It's simple as that. And the question should be, if you're in that frame of mind where you think, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, there is something the matter spiritually with you. Because there should be something in all of us that when we all meet together and we worship Christ, that Christ is the centre of this church. Not anyone in here is not the centre. Jesus Christ is the centre. Yes, we can all worship him at home. We can worship him in our lives. But when we get to heaven, we're all going to be worshipping him together. You won't be staying in your mansion up there going, well, I don't have to go to the throne to worship him. I can sit in my mansion. No. God calls us to worship him and we all come and meet together. The Bible says in the last days, don't forsake the assembling together as the manner of some, as you see the day approaching. There's a warning for us. We have to go to church. And there's laws and things getting passed in this country later on. Maybe in a few years, we might not be able to have meetings like this. Who knows? It happens. If you look back 40 years ago in Iran. Iran was a westernised country 40 years ago. When you look at it, they walked about just like me and you. When Islam got in, within 40 years, all that disappeared. Don't think it can't happen here. Listen, the Bible says that Satan is the ruler of this world. He's the ruler. Don't be surprised if things happen. And then Paul goes on and says, look, because he says, look, being a Jew, if you're saved and you're called to be and you're a Jew, don't seek to be a non-Jew. Or vice versa, if you're not a Jew, don't seek to become a Jew. And we have this problem today. We have this, right? Some people think, well, if I learn how to interpret the Bible as a Jew and listen to all the Jewish teachers, I'm a better Christian than all the other Christians that ain't Jews. Listen, it's good. I've read Jewish people, I've studied Jewish studies. But as far as I know, the Holy Spirit is not a Jew. And he's not a Gentile. The Holy Spirit can talk to a Jew and a non-Jew the same way. You see, the trouble is, because what happens is, people try and study all these different books and they want to study all this Jewish thing. Listen, I like listening, reading Arnold Fruchtenbaum. Not listening to him, because he put you to sleep. But him, I used to like listening to Jacob Presch. Very good. And very good interpretation of the Bible. But it don't make them better Christians. Some people like listening to other people. Don't make them better Christians. Now, what's more important to God is that you read his word and obey it. Because we can listen to all the best teachers in the world. If we're not obeying the word of truth, what good is it? Judas Iscariot, he had the best Bible teacher that ever lived. The best. But he never knew him and never walked that way, did he? And listen, we can all brag that I've read this book, I listened to this Bible teacher, this one says that one says that one. Who cares? Who really cares what they say? Are you obeying the word of truth? It ain't about what this man says. That man's saying that and he's obeying it. If you're not obeying it, there's a problem. I know brothers that have got probably as many books as a library and ain't read one of them. They go to you, I've got this author, this author, this author, this author, and ain't read a single page. Ain't changed their life whatsoever. We don't have to seek to become someone else or some super Bible interpreter or an apostle. Jesus Christ has called you to be you. What's more important to him is that you obey his words. Amen. It's the word of God that gives life. You've got to obey what he says. Jesus said, if you love me, read Jacob Presch. Did he say that? If you love me, listen to Chuck Smith. Did he say that? If you love me, listen to Joseph Anderson. Sorry, Joe. No. He said, if you love me, obey my commands. As simple as that. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Just you reading that much, the Holy Spirit can teach you a lot more than what a man can teach you in a lifetime. Because it's the Holy Spirit that he leads you into all truth. You see, we're so concerned with what people think and how we want to be seen and perceived in front of people. God's ain't concerned how we look like. Listen, it ain't about being popular. Being a Christian ain't about being popular to Jesus. He's the only one that should be popular. He wants us to obey him. And the question me and you have got to ask ourselves is this. Not only are we obeying the word of truth, but are we reading the word of truth? Because how can you obey something that you're not reading? Or you're not listening to your Bible tapes? How can you obey it? Because the Bible says that his word is a lamp unto our feet and it is a light unto our path. What that means is in that car park, you look in that car park out there, it's pitch black or dark. The idea is we're walking in this pitch black dark world and this is the torch. This is the light, this is the guidebook. In this dark place, this guides us through it. And if we're not taking the word in, how are we getting guided through it? How does it guide us? It's the word of truth guides us. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we do that by not just reading, but applying the word of God to our lives and obeying it. Listen, it's easy to say, I can say that. It's easy to say, but very hard to do. It's very hard to do, but we've got a great Saviour who can enable us to do that. You see, God cares what's going on the inside, not on the outside. You know, Christmas time is coming up. Next meeting after Christmas, everyone will be in here. All got their new clobber on. All got their Ben Shermans on. Yeah. Gucci handbags. All washing their hair in Fidel Sassoon. They'll all be all their gift sets, right? But we could all come here looking for $1 million. Do you reckon God would care if we all come here dressed in all our Christmas gear? What he'd care about is, how are you this Christmas inside? That's what God cares about. Are you obeying him? This, I understand, for the young ones, Ben Sherman's was a very good make 25 years ago.
35
years
ago.
Yeah, that as well. Praise the Lord. But in verse 20, it says, let each one of you remain to the same calling which he was called. If you was called a slave, don't be concerned about it. But if you're made free, rather use it. See, what he's saying there, he's saying, look, if you're called, now Paul's saying this to slaves. Now imagine, you're a slave in this time. Not every slave had it good. And Paul's basically said, look, you've got saved and you're a slave. Don't worry about it. Sure, you've got saved. I thought, cool, Jesus has set me free in a minute. They say, no, stay a slave. Why do you think Paul would say to them, stay a slave? Because they could lead others to Jesus Christ. They could be the light in their household. Didn't even in Caesar's household he have people there that were saved? Even in the prisons in this country, it got people that are saved and winning the lost. In Parliament, there's born again Christians in Parliament winning the lost. He's saying, remain in that calling. He says, look, but if you've got a chance to be free, take it and be free. That's what he's saying. But he's saying, just because you're called as a slave, stay a slave. You can be used for God. You know, when the disciples come to Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, he said, they said, we've got nothing to feed them with, Lord. He said, well, you give them something to eat. And they said, oh, we got these few loaves and a couple of fish. He said, get some here. And he put it in the hands of the Lord. And what they had, Jesus multiplied it and fed 5,000 people. They might be called a slave. You might be called. You might be got saved, and you work in a job, just a normal job. It doesn't matter. But what God has called you in, He can use it for His glory. Whatever you've got, God can multiply and reach a lot of people. He can reach a lot of people, not for mine and your glory, but for His glory. It's all for His glory. But He says, for he who is called in the Lord, why is a slave, is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who is called while free is a Christ's slave. For you were brought at a price, and do not become the slaves of men. So it's like, well, listen, it works both ways. All right, you're a slave, but you're free. You're free from sin and death. All right, well, you're not a slave, but now you're a slave to Christ. That's what he's saying. It doesn't matter. It's what's in here what matters. Do you know him? And the second time in this letter, the previous chapter he used it, Paul's told him again, you're brought at a price. Don't become the slaves of men. Paul's had to tell him twice in two chapters. How many times do we have to hear that? That we're brought at a price, because we all go through things. We can all become entangled in sin, be slaves to sin, and things could be going on. How many times do we have to hear that we're brought at a price and what Christ has done? Every Sunday we come around the table and hear what Christ has done. We have to constantly hear it, because the enemy attacks us so much. He wants to make me and you think that we're not free. He still wants us to think we're still in prison. We're still in the prison of sin. That's what he wants you to think. But the Bible says, well, Jesus has set free. They'd be free indeed. You know, Jews believe you're free tonight. You're free in Christ. You know, because Jesus came to set you free. You see, in the previous chapter he said, you were brought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So he's saying, look, you brought at a price. Now glorify God in your spirit. Glorify God. But now he's saying, you brought at a price. Don't become a slave of men. Why? Because if we become a slave of men again, we cease from glorifying God. That's what happens. When we come to obey men, worrying about what people say, what people think, being tangled in the world and what they want, we stop giving God glory. God stops getting the glory in mine and your life. And listen, I know it's hard. And listen, as Christians, we've got to learn to bear... not the shame of, well, I suppose you could say the shame of Christ, because when we're Christians, we shouldn't have to worry what unsaved families think, what our friends think who are not Christians, because we don't want to look ledged or ashamed that, well, they think I'm a Christian. I don't want to stand up for the truth too much, because I still want to be one of the boys. Listen, we ain't got to worry about that. What's more important is what Christ thinks. He's the one that's brought you at a price. If we give in and do the things that they do, we're then becoming a slave. You know, I've got no problem with people not liking me whatsoever, right, for Christ. Don't bother me at all, because it's for Christ. If people don't like me because I follow Jesus, well, so what? Do you think when I get to heaven I'm going to be worried about, oh, well, so-and-so didn't like me? No, I'm there with the Lord, and I'm here with the Lord. The best testimony that me and you can have in front of our unsaved friends and our unsaved families is taking a stand for Jesus Christ. That's what we can have. And if they laugh at you, if they talk filth around you, walk off and say, that ain't for me. I'm a Christian. I follow the Lord. If they don't like you doing this, or they don't like the way you live, say, well, listen, I'm a Christian and Jesus wants me to live this way and I'm going to live it. We shouldn't be afraid. We've got to be bold. He ain't give us a spirit of timidity and fear, but a spirit of boldness. We can take a stand. If people don't see you taking and me taking our Christianity seriously, why would they want to be Christians? Why would they want to follow the Lord? If we don't take it serious, why would we expect them to take it serious when we witness to them? You see, there's so much in Scripture. And it's blessed me this week As I studied Galatians 3 this week about being set free from the curse of the law, that Christ has set us free. And there's so much scripture where Christ has set me and you free. And it's so great that you just end up looking at the Lord and thinking, Lord, how great are you and the things that you've done? That on your what you've done, what does he require of us? What's God say? This is eternal life. Believe in him who he has sent. That's it. That's it. Everything else comes through the leading of the Holy Spirit. But the salvation part is all what Christ done. And when he says he's brought at a price, right? How much is the blood of Christ worth? If you had to put a price on it, £1 million? £1 billion? How much would you say? You couldn't put a value on the blood of Christ. He set us free from that blood that was shed upon the cross. That he shed for mine and your sin has set us free. That don't matter where we walk through this world, what we're going through in this world, that we know that one day, that when I breathe my last, because of what Jesus Christ done upon the cross at Calvary, I know 1,000,000,000,000% when I breathe my last, I'll be in the arms of the Lord in the next. And you can know that. But the old enemy don't want you to think and know that. That's the difference. He wants to speak to the mind and not let you know it. And we fall for it a lot. All of us fall for it. You know, Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, and it has made me free from the law of sin and death." You see, the Lord brought death, didn't it? What did the Lord do? All the boys who preach the gospel use it every Sunday. If they used to law, if you ever told a lie, well, you're a lie. If you've stolen something, you're a thief. No other gods, idolatry. The law, it brings death. It points to Christ. That's what the Lord done. It showed us what the Lord does. It shows that me and you, that we was helpless, hopeless, with our Saviour, going to hell. That's what the Lord done. That's why he showed me and you. And Christ come to redeem us from that and save us. That we're now born again. That, well, I haven't got to look at the law now. The law is holy. But I can't keep it. You can't keep it. And in Acts 15, Peter said, the Jews can't even keep it. And they was given it. Why? Because Christ has paid it. The blood of Christ was the payment. And that me and you are free. That no longer do we have to walk in sin. We don't have to walk in the flesh. The blood of Jesus Christ has set me and you free from it. The flesh is strong. It is strong. But we serve a great God. He's given us the Holy Spirit to come alongside us and take us as slaves set free. Just as Moses took them out of the promised land in the Exodus. To go across that desert of this world. And one day we're going to get in the promised land. Through the leading of the Spirit, we don't have to go back to sin and death and following the ways of the law. Christ has made us free men and women of God. The Bible says we are set free, has been free indeed. And that's such a great thing. And if we can only grasp that freedom, your Christianity will take such a turn and such a great turn, your walk will increase 1,000,000%. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by tradition or try and think, well, I'm going to do this and do that to make myself safe. No, Lord Jesus, you love me and you gave yourself for me. And Romans 6:22-23 says, it says, "But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have the fruit of holiness and in the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, now he said, look, we've been set free from sin and death. No longer slaves to the world. No longer, when Paul says, look, don't be slaves to men. No, we're now slaves of God. Bond servants of Jesus Christ serving him. That's where he set us. And what happens? He gives us the fruit of holiness. Me and you as born again believers. He's took this, something that was full of darkness and rottenness. He's placed the Holy Spirit in mine and your hearts. That we're now full of light. That we can bear fruit to Christ. That we can live a holy life, a pleasing life to Christ. That we can live such a life, you know. Just as the disciples turned this world upside down. Me and you can turn Kent upside down. That's the power that we've got. The disciples weren't special people, you know. Those men just like me and you. But it was who gave them the power. That same power that was available to them. They were set free from the same thing that me and you had. But the same power is at God's disposal. It's there for me and you. And what happens? He gives us that power to live out that fruitful life. And then at the end, or even now, everlasting life. That's why he says for the wages of sin is death. Why? Because it's what the Lord brings. Sin, it brings death. But Christ has given me and you eternal life. We, just like these in here, they were physical slaves there. But me and you were spiritual slaves. Slaves to the God of this world. And Jesus Christ entered this world to set me and you free.
Amen.
That's what he came to do. And we are free. And Galatians 3:13 says, for Christ, having redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So he's redeemed us from the curse of the law. And that word redeem means he went to a marketplace, he purposely brought a slave to set him free. That's what it means. When Christ went down on the cross, what he done was, all of us in here, we was in that marketplace. We was being sold as slaves. And Jesus has gone, I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. Picked him and gone, look, be free. That's what Jesus has done for me and you. He set us free. But do you know what the trouble is? It's like this. We was in a prison cell. Christ has unlocked the door. We've walked out. And yet, how much do we try hard to lock ourselves back in that prison cell? Going back to the things of the world. Christ has set us free, but we're too busy trying to lock ourselves back in prison and being a slave. We've got to learn to experience the freedom of God. What has this world got to offer me and you? What's it got to offer? Listen, if it does take you, if you do slide back into the world, it will devour you in the end. That's what it does. You go back, and where does it take you? You've all read the prodigal son. When he got the father's inheritance and squandered it, and ended up eating pig's food. The swine, that's where the world takes you. Looking back and thinking, oh, look what we had there, how good it was. Look how they're living, look what this one's doing, look what that's doing. In the end, it'll turn around and devour you. You'll be eating pig's food. That's where the world takes you. And what have you exchanged it for? The greatest gift that you could ever have. The priceless gift what Jesus Christ gave you, which is himself. And what do we give for it? Pig's food. That's what we squander it for. And that's what the world's got to offer you. You know, Christmas time's coming up and you're thinking about, I want to go to a party, I want to have a few pints. It's pig's food. That's what it is. What are you working your guts out for and living for the world is pig's food. Compared to Jesus Christ, that's what it is.
Amen.
And what's it going to happen to it? All right, you go out, you have a few pints, get drunk at Christmas. Oh, it's gone. Listen, I've done plenty of that. I was a drunkard. I couldn't go back to that life for no money. In the end, all it done was nearly destroy my family, destroy me, destroy my family. It was pig's food. Going back, you might have thought, well, I had a better living in the world. I could go and earn this, I could go and earn that, I could do all this. I could travel the world than what I used to get in the world. It's pig's food. What you've got now is priceless. And you turn it away for what? What will we turn it away for? The world's got nothing for us to offer. It's got nothing to give. If it had something to give, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die for us, would he? But yet, we look back, we're too busy looking back thinking, how good we had it back then. We look back and think, how good did we have it back then? Do you know what the sad truth is? The sad truth is this, you don't know how good you got it now. That's the truth of it. That's the truth. Because Jesus said this, he who puts his hand to the plough and looks back, he's not even fit for the kingdom of heaven. Not even fit for it. Ain't that frightening? Looking back. Not going back. not going back into the world. Because what's happening is you're ploughing. What he's saying is you're ploughing, Jesus is saying. You've got your eyes on me. You've got the eyes on the greatest thing that's ever been for you. And you're looking back at that. You're not fit, sure, are you? Why would we want to take our eyes off Jesus Christ? Why? He's given us so much. He continues to give us so much. Year after year. Yes, we have problems, we have troubles, we have the best times in our life. But he's still keeping us here. And yet we still look back and think, oh, how good did I have it? I want to be fit for the kingdom of heaven. I don't want to be unfit for the kingdom of heaven. He's promised us so much. We have so many of them blessings, them promises. You know, we look back. All them people we look back at, all unsaved friends, family, the world, everything what they got. If they don't know Jesus Christ, what is their final destination? Where is worldliness taking them? And yet we want to run back to it after time and do what they want to do. Listen, the best thing is, best thing that me and you can do, instead of running back, is walk back to that prison lock, is lock that prison door shut and throw away the key and walk on for Jesus Christ. That's the best thing that me and you can do. Well, listen, I'll tell you this now. No matter how hard things get, the answer's not leaving Jesus Christ. It don't matter how hard it gets. Things are but for a season. Today might be hard. Tomorrow could be a million times better. Life changes all the time. Jesus Christ never changes. Amen. The Bible says he's with us today, yesterday. Always the same today, yesterday and forever. And the Bible says he's with us always until the end of the age. But when I read about this, I read in Hebrews 11 about Moses. It says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches and the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses could have been the Pharaoh of the world. He could have been the ruler of the known world at that time in the end. But what did he do? Well, he chose rather to walk for the people of God, to walk with God, than to have them things. Because it's shallowness. Things only satisfy you for a little while. Listen, if you get a new motor, a cushy, get it? They pull blankets off from there, don't they? You don't just go and pick it up. They pull blankets off them now, right? Or blankets or sheet, whatever you want to call it. And everyone's got their filters on it, so it's all sparkly, right? You pull that off it. You know, 200 miles down the road, the old good feelings wore off, innit? It's wore off. It drove the same as the last one. Oh, it's cushy. Everyone says, oh, nice motor, bruv. Very nice. Well done for you. And then all of a sudden, someone else will have a new motor next week. No one thinks of your motor. And now all of a sudden, you want to put the sheet back on it because no one's looking at it. It's shallowness, isn't it? It is absolutely. And that's, but we laugh, but that is what we like inside. It's shallow. The world is full of shallowness. Satan knows that we live in a world now. Everything's got to be quick. I'll get Amazon delivery. I can have things. I want it today. I'm so used to having everything. Now, I want everything now. But shallowness. This world is just full of shallowness. Moses knew what was right. Yes, he could have had the riches of Egypt, but he chose rather to walk with God. And he looked for the reward. We got a greater reward. You know, one paving stone in that mansion of what God's building here is more value than everything we've accumulated in this life and what you're going to get. Things are just things. You know, next year they're old. The fashion this year will be old next year. Unless you're like me who's had the same fashion for 20 years. But otherwise it just gets old. Everything gets old and goes. Why run and try and satisfy the flesh with the things and things of the world when we can satisfy the Spirit, satisfy the Lord with the things of Christ? That's more importance. You see, when we stand before God that day, when we get there that day, Like I said, he ain't going to be worried about what Ben Sherman you had on or what Gucci bag you had at 2024. What's more important to him is what did you do for me? Listen, have things, buy what you want, but don't let things own you. Don't let him own you. I know the flesh is strong, but we serve a great God. But like he says, look, you brought a price, you were slaves. Then he ends with, look, brethren, that each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. Now I think, really, when you just read the words, he ends with, look, remain with God. I think that's the most important thing that me and you could hear. Amen. Remain with God. Because the enemy is so crafty. He wants to, he'd be whispering in your mind, look, we say we believe all these scriptures. We'd all say amen to, we know that Christ has set us free. We're free indeed. But he's still crafty enough to try and make us think, and some will believe that they're not free. And will try and make you drift. But listen, we're to remain with him. And listen, the thing is, the way to remain with God and stay with God, we've got a fellowship with God. You've got to read the word. Pray to God. Speak to God. Love God. Serve God. Remain with him. That's the most important thing you can do. Listen, I know he's got me. Listen, 1,000,000%, God's got hold of me. God has got hold of me. The Bible tells me, look, I'm his. And he's mine. But the thing is, has my heart got hold of God? That's the difference. God's got hold of me, but has my heart got hold of God? You know, and that's the trouble. A lot of the time, it's serving other gods. The heart is serving other gods. It's not remaining with God. It's serving something else. And we've got to fall in love with God. And the only way you fall in love with God is spending time with him. Spend time with the Lord. Listen, overnight, look, turn Netflix off, whatever you got, Sky, YouTube, TikTok, WhatsApp, Facebook, turn that off. Spend time with God. Love God. Because, you know, when we spend that time with him, his voice becomes more clear. When you remain in God, you're spending that quality time with him. You hear his voice. The voice becomes clear. The trouble is we've got so much now, there's so much in our households that are taking all this attention away from God. This that was sold when I got saved, that everything in my being, I couldn't wait. I used to drive meetings nearly every night and run, do the things of the Lord. Read, pray, everything. But then all of a sudden things just entered the home and all these different, it's all on the phone. YouTube, what, TikTok, what's it? It's all taking a bit in my heart and all going away over there. That big heart that was for the Lord is now only a tiny portion of what it was. Why? Because I'm not spending the time, I'm not falling in love with God how I once was. But other things are taking his place. And I don't even know it. Don't even come to the realise that this that was solely for God's, all of a sudden that something else has taken his place. Best thing to do, if things are in the way, if the telly's in the way, your phone's in the way, iPad's in the way, of you spending time with God, reading, praying, seeking the Lord and knowing him and loving him, do you know the best thing to do? Rip the telly off the wall, chuck it straight out the window. That's the best thing. That is the best thing for you to do. Shall I tell you why? Because the telly's full of rubbish, absolutely full of rubbish, and that's having more of an effect in our life than what God is. That's the best thing. Get rid of it. It's an hindrance. You know, you've got an iPhone. Oh, don't know where my phone's at. That's gone. Right? You know an iPhone. It tells you at the end of the week, it tells you how many hours a day you spent on your phone. 5 hours a day I spent last week on my phone. Right? And most of it was football, right? But 5 hours, I thought 5 hours a week, 5 hours a day. So that's 25 hours this week. 35 hours this week. 35 hours this week, I've sat on the phone. If I give God 35 hours this week, I'd say half that. I'd probably say 17 hours. Not include at own time, not including church. But ain't that a sad thing? If you've got your phone now and it told you how long you had on it, I think we'd all realise where our priorities are, don't we? That has got a heart. You know, but listen, I want to end with this because I think this is important. We've got to be so careful, brothers and sisters, we've got to guard our hearts. That's what's important. We've got a real enemy that's attacking me and you daily. We've got this body of flesh that's trying to drag us away from Christ daily. And the world is trying to drag us away daily. Constantly trying to drag us away. But listen, remain with God. Spend time with God. And don't leave the one who laid his life down for me and you. Don't leave him. Let's pray.